Welcome to another episode of the Open Science Radio. This is Konrad Förstner. This is episode 186. It's the 4th of April 2020. It's a very special and weird time now. And when we are recording this, we are in basically a global pandemic of the coronavirus. And that changes our life in many different manners, I have to say. And we will dive a little bit later on a little bit. And also in future podcasts, we will have a closer look at that. One very big influence, I would say, is on Open Science Radio right now. Many of you are still waiting for some of the recordings of the Barcamp Open Science. And I can understand that you are, well, very keen on having those. There were some great sessions, and we covered many of those. And Matthias is super busy right now. He himself is really packed with stuff. He has to act on the epidemic here right now, or pandemic, and has to do a lot of things. And he is a super packed day. Due to this, he couldn't so far polish and publish all the recordings. On the other side, you're listening to this now here, and this will be even published before everything from the Barcamp Open Science is published, because we think this has a little bit more priority right now. So please send some good energy to Matthias. He really carved out a lot of time for polishing the other recordings already, and he will definitely record the other ones. The topic that we'll talk today is of higher importance, in my personal opinion. This is why I squeezed this in here, and I hope you can understand this. And everybody who would like to get the input from the Open Science Barcamp, it will come out. No worries, but we all are in a very special situation here right now, and we try to improve the situation. In order to solve this, I have a guest here today, which is Leila. Hi, Leila.
Hello, Konrad.
Hi there. So, and before we dive into what Leila would like to talk with us about in a second, is the following. As mentioned, we have this global COVID-19 epidemic. This means we have a virus that is infecting people in a rather normal way. But the importance is that many people are infected or are going to be infected right now, and there is at least the risk that our health system can be overloaded by this. We see this currently in Italy, where this is basically the case. Here in Germany, we are still comparatively good. In other countries, we see also a lot of issues. And currently, we here, at least in Germany, are in a lockdown. This means whoever can stay at home should stay at home and is staying at home. And we try to reduce social contacts as much as possible, which is a very weird situation. We are in this now for roughly 2 weeks, and it feels like forever already now. One thing is clearly that, again, science is the solution here, or can be the solution. And there are many groups working on very different levels, solving this really threat for humankind. Starting from the development of new vaccines, but also modeling how the virus behaves and how different interventions can actually help the situation here. So science, again, is definitely one of the solutions here. And in order to improve this, well, many people are breaking out of their normal scientific life. Same for us here at ZDMet, and we can talk about this also. It's a different episode. Are doing a lot of these kind of things. We have set up an own hub for this. We are doing literature mining. We're doing phylogenetic trees and all these kind of things. So many people are stepping back from their normal search and trying to put effort into the solution to this problem, and try to tackle this from very different perspectives. And one of these endeavors is actually something that Leila is involved in very heavily. It's something which is called biohackathons. It has a longer history that we will talk shortly about. And usually this is done in close contact in real life, but we have one ahead of us that will be happening virtually. Before we dive into this, Leila, would you mind and introduce yourself a little bit, your background, and what you're doing right now?
Sure, Konrad. First of all, thank you a lot for this opportunity. It's great that you have invited us to talk about this biohackathon. About myself, I have been involved with bioinformatics for about 10 years now. I started working on this subject with EMBL EBI in UK as part of the UniProt team. Mainly what I was doing with them was web development and semantic web and linked data as well. And I have been always inclined to research. So after being with EMBL EBI for 9 years, I decided to move to a research institution such as SEDBEMET here in Cologne in Germany. And there I am part of the knowledge management group, and I am coordinating a small team on semantic retrieval.
Great, thank you. Yeah, so small disclaimer, Leila is a colleague of mine. One important thing is here that she has a strong background, as you heard, in bioinformatics and also in semantic web technologies. And we're sitting here today because she's basically one of the organizers of this bio hackathon. Let's maybe talk a little bit about what this bio hackathon is, Leila.
Okay, so bio hackathon is a gathering of people with different backgrounds, usually related to a topic or usually related to a tool. In our case, the biohackathons started about 13 years ago, I think we are on that time. And it started by an initiative by a Japanese group in DBCLS and MBDC. Two very strong institutes there working on life sciences. Their focus, their biohackathons, particularly on semantic web. So what is the idea behind a biohackathon? You get people from different institutions gathering together and working toward a particular topic. In the case of the Japanese biohackathons by DBCLS and MBDC, is semantic web. You organize people in groups, and it is kind of self-organizing. Some people might want to work on genomics, some people might want to work on proteomics, some others would want to focus on how to improve visualization of semantic web, etc. So people kind of organize themselves based on their own interest and their own knowledge. And despite the name biohackathon, it is not only about software development. You can bring an idea that you just want to brainstorming, that you want to gather feedback. We have work also in modeling ontologies, schemas, validation of data, and so on. But in this particular case, for the DBCLS and MBDC biohackathons is all about semantic web. 3 years ago, Elixir Europe, which is a consortium of different countries and different members on life sciences, mostly Europe at a European level, they decided to mimic this effort from Japan, and they started the Biohackathon Europe series. Two of them have happened in Paris, and the next one will be in Barcelona. But it is not restricted to biohackathons. There are other manifestations with different names that are going on the same direction. You could have heard, for instance, of the CodeFest that happens jointly with some other conferences. There is a big conference, for instance, ISMB and ECCB. There is a group there working on open source code, BOSC, which commonly organizes a CodeFest. Some other call them sprints, as in the Scrum sprints. And some others focusing, for instance, in vocabularies called them VOC camps. Mm-hmm. And the idea is just to produce solutions for a particular subject. The one that we will start tomorrow is about COVID.
Yeah. Great. So the concept of hackathons is a widespread or widely used concept. And this is basically a strong, let's say, foundation here also in the field of bioinformatics and semantic web and the overlap of that. And yeah, I think you were involved in several of those, I think, before already, right? Well, due to the fact that COVID is now this global threat, some people sat together and said, okay, we need to make now the one for, or yeah, run one for COVID-19. Let's maybe go to the hard facts before we dive a little bit into that. You mentioned already the aims are usually to, well, generate general solutions that are a little bit more tangible, but maybe like software or something like general approaches here. What do you see personally maybe in as aim of the COVID-19 biohackathon? Tough question.
I think, yes, it is a tough question. I think we all want to contribute somehow to this crisis, to reach people, to get knowledge reaching people so they can act and also create tools and work with data that can work for researchers to go into in-depth analysis to understand better what it is going on, how this could be similar or totally different from other things that we know already. And, someone at some point asked us, what are you going to get from this biohackathon that other groups are not doing already? Mm-hmm. With the rapid pace that things are happening right now, it's difficult to know. And in any case, we have seen that efforts across different countries can also target a little bit in a different way, because the way that we approach problems, the way that we approach situations can change from culture to culture. And depending on our background, we will need to present things one way or the other. And in this biohackathon, we will have people participating from everywhere, really. We are distributed across 16 time zones right now. So we really hope that we will reach different places all around the world. We will have people working in translation, not translational medicine, as you can imagine, given the topic, mm-hmm. but translation of materials. Because a lot of information is in English, but not everybody speaks English. And with this pandemic, you need to reach everybody with knowledge of English, with knowledge of medicine, with knowledge of bioinformatics or not. You need to reach the commoner, everybody you need to reach right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think we can really surf here, even with those, let's say, rather small things, although a translation can be also a rather big thing, right? But that this already can prove it, because information is really the key here, right? It's something where the battlefield, to have maybe a military term here, is really on information. If people know better, they can act better, right? And that is something to improve here. I mean, there are also other initiatives. There was in Germany this VIA versus virus thing that was a huge success. I think 40,000 participants. I was also signed up, but I didn't really participate because I was doing something else. And I think this is maybe also the key here, right? Because we are specialists in coming from the semantic web era and the biology and bioinformatics field. And this is pretty close to actually the problem here. So while other things were maybe broader and things like, you know, tracking tools or even 3D printing, approaches where you can build shields and so on are useful. I think we as a bioinformatics community can really contribute here to the core of the problem. A very personal result from myself, because during the weekend where the VIA versus virus was happening, I was working on genome alignments of that. And I just got recently a call by a diagnostic company, and they saw this and found one SNP that was interesting for them. So I think this can have a big impact. This is why I really would like to spread the knowledge about this biohackathon that is, and this is what we haven't said so far, which is actually starting tomorrow. So today is the 4th of April and will start at the 5th April and will go for basically a week, for until the 11th. Leila, maybe you can describe the common procedure or the common schedule of such a biohackathon and how you are planning to do that.
Well, I don't know if it is the common procedure, because this is the first time that we organize a virtual biohackathon. We have contributing in organization of the NBDC and DBCLS biohackathon, although that is mainly run by Japanese people. They are the main organizers. We just contribute by sending projects there and giving them feedback. But we have also contributed with the Elixir Europe biohackathon. In fact, we wrote a paper, a 10 simple rules paper on the PLOS Computational Collection about how to organize and run a biohackathon. But we are learning right now how to organize a virtual one, because it is different. So what we are doing right now regarding organization, and we are doing this with the help of Piotr Prince in the University of Tennessee in United States. In fact, this is his initiative. And Tasro Ota in Japan, also with the support of Elixir Europe. We have the support of Slack as well, for instance. They provide us the full version for us to have conversations more easily in this platform. And well, what we did is just creating a GitHub project with a wiki where every participant could go there and say, like, oh, this is the topic I'm interested in. For instance, gene expression, the translation to other languages, as I already mentioned, learning materials, phylogenetics, ontologies, FAIR data, you name it. We have a very good spectrum of topics in there. And we also created a Google Groups. It's the virtual COVID-19 biohackathon. If you just search on Google Groups, you will find it. And we sent an email to the regular Japanese biohackathon mailing list. And from that, it all started. As I mentioned before, some other people have participated in previous biohackathons, so they start immediately auto-organizing themselves, creating the topics, participating on the mailing list with data they know is available, with problems they have seen on the data related to virus and related to genomes, etc. We created the Slack channel. It was not even us in the organizing team who did this Slack channel. It was someone else participating in the biohackathon from BASF, Alexander Garcia, who wanted also to contribute. So we have got people creating logos for the biohackathon, also saying, like, look, if you need computer power, we have this cloud in here. We have these GPUs in there. So it has been an amazing response from the scientific community for this biohackathon. And as you mentioned, this is not the only initiative. There are so many biohackathons, co-fests, virtual events that people can join.
Yeah, no, it's always amazing, you know, how these things are sometimes happening, right? You just give basically a platform, and then suddenly, boom, people, got inspired and started doing things there, right, and contributing.
Yes, we have got really good support from Elixir Europe. We have been in contact with them because they have already put in place some data tools for the whole community at Emble EBI, for instance, which is one of the Elixir nodes. And with tools like Slack, Zoom, and we have people that goes from, look, I'm a bachelor student, how can I contribute? Some other people that say, look, we are in our country and we have no idea what to do. We want to learn. It's really good.
Yeah, it sounds definitely very good. And let's see it also as an experiment. As you said, it's covering, what do you say, numerous time zones and also fields from very different fields. So that makes it very interesting. I think I saw this on the on the mailing list, there were more than 300 participants already or something like this, right? So it will be a little bit messy, I guess. But I'm also think that a lot of good things will come out of that. My idea is also that we try to cover a few of these projects also here in Open Science Radio to give more insight to others. But that said, as far as I can understand, you're still open to more people participating. So maybe you should put here the standard facts in here, or the important facts in there. It will start tomorrow. Maybe you can quickly say how this will happen, or what will be the initial point, or how people can now help here and can participate.
Well, the initial point of participation will be the Google group, and then join in the Slack. You can find all the information in the GitHub. It's the github.com/virtual-biohackathons/covid-19-bh20. In there, you can find all the information about the Google group, how to contribute, how to join a topic, how to participate, how to join the Slack. And we will start tomorrow with a kickoff meeting via Zoom webinars. We got an activation for 500 people. So I hope it will be enough. That is one of our kind of fears right now. So we will start at 2 p.m. Central European Summer Time, so 12 UTC. And we will start with this webinar, where the different topics will present their aims. What is the general idea that they have for the developments that will happen during the following week? What are the communication channels that they have? Also, what overlapping with other groups they see. For instance, in the FAIR data, we have people interested in seeing which related to COVID terms are still missing from the different vocabularies that could be later taken on by the ontologies group in order to introduce them in the corresponding ontologies. We have people working with data mining and knowledge graphs. So those working in data mining and text mining could feed somehow the knowledge graphs that will be created, and so on. But it all will start tomorrow with this webinar at 12 GMT. And we will not make the webinar kind of open to everybody. We would want to do so, but we are aware as well of some things that have happened with virtual meetings when you leave them totally open with no registration and so on. So just to avoid this, we decided to have a registration that we will distribute via the mailing list.
Great. Yeah, so this is one thing that popped up in the recent weeks, the so-called Zoom bombing, where people just joining and, trolling around in there. So it's a good idea to keep this down for the time being. But I guess after this initial point, people will organize anyway in smaller groups and then try to find a communication. I think, meanwhile, everybody is well-trained in communicating remotely after the last weeks in that, and I think that's that shouldn't be a big problem. It's amazing already how many groups are there. So there are, I counted just more than 20 groups, as you mentioned already, some of these topics, right? Like FAIR data, workflows, knowledge graph, Wikidata, biostatistics, and so on. So I think there's a broad spectrum of things where people can contribute to and also can learn, right? It's also one thing you have now nearly a full week of learning in front of you.
Yes, as well, because we have got researchers and scientists that say, look, I'm starting my bachelor, I don't know. So still join and also get what you can learn from it. And if maybe this initiative is replicated at local levels, targeting particular problems at a particular country, well, if people learn how to go for it as well, that would be a good thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And my question would be, if somebody pops up and says, oh, there are cool topics, but I have a new one, it's still possible to add them there, right?
Yes, Yes, it is still possible to add them.
Also the whole week, yeah. I'm pretty sure I will join the Wikidata group. We have already some development on that, but also the others. There are some very interesting ones I would also like to join. So that will be definitely an interesting time now ahead of us. Leila, have you forgotten anything?
It could also happen that some of the topics will split into smaller projects, so it will be more manageable. We have one or two coordinators per topic, but we have 20 and we are more than 300 now. So it could be that we will end up with some groups, really big groups with 30 people, and that is not that easy to coordinate different time zones and everything. So maybe they will split into two smaller groups targeting a particular aspect on the topic.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Leila, have we forgotten anything that people need to know in order to participate or to spread the word here a little bit?
Well, we will also use Twitter. So the hashtag that we are using is #COVID_19_BH20 if people want to follow us in Twitter and see what's going on in the biohackathon. We will also have published results about what happened during the biohackathon. It is really difficult to publish any work done during a biohackathon, code fest, and so on, because usually it is not finished work. Because of this, we created a preprint initiative targeting particular life sciences biohackathon co-fest bootcamps, which is biohackarchive.org. And we did with this in coordination with OSF. So all the things that it is done during the biohackathon will be summarized in short reports, still work in progress, in this biohackarchive.org preprint.
Yeah, that's, by the way, a great idea. When I saw this, I thought this is really also good motivation to, you know, we have to bridge this informal work that is kind of happening and the formal things later on people might need in their career and so on, right? So that is, I guess, a very good starting point. And OSF, so Open Science Framework, is a good foundation for that. So this is really important for people otherwise. I mean, we have now this current global threat, but also long-term, we have to make sure that people are getting attribution and so on. It is shaping, well, this whole crisis is shaping also science, I think, dramatically, and we will talk here in Open Science Radio, or we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail. But for the time being, we wanted to advertise this event here. You're, I guess, warmly invited to join here. So, Leila, anything else that we have forgotten? Otherwise, we're good?
Well, I guess I have forgotten some things, but well, if you just follow the channels that we have for this biohackathon, you will get more details in any case. So, yeah. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And my idea would be that we will continue this conversation during the hackathon, or maybe afterwards a little bit, and maybe wrap up what happened there. I would also like to talk to some people of certain projects in there. So if we can manage, right? As said, it's a crazy time right now, and a lot of things are needing our attention right now, but that would be great if we could shed some light on some of these projects here. Good. Leila, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. And we'll see you, all right, soon.
Yes.
And everybody else, yeah, feel warmly invited. Thank you for listening, and see you soon. Bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.